No shortage of advice for the administration on how to get the nation's fiscal house in order. Federal News Radio has been telling you about plans coming from former Comptroller General David Walker, former Democratic Budget Director Alice Rivlin with the Bipartisan Policy Center, the President's Deficit Commission, not to mention advice from lawmakers, Congress. Today, we're talking with Virginia Reno, the Vice President for Income Security Policy at the National Academy of Social Insurance, the co-author of a brief called Strengthening Social Security for the Long Run. Ms. Reno, thanks for joining us this morning. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
You have some findings from a review of the 1983 reforms?
Yes. We looked at the 1983 reforms and found that going forward, there is good reason to focus on improving benefits and strengthening revenues rather than looking at further benefit cuts.
So strengthening revenues and strengthening benefits, it almost sounds like you're turning into the skid when you hit an icy patch. Explain how that would work.
Well, the 1983 reforms were mainly benefit cuts for the long term. And we find that true balance going forward suggests we need more revenue, not more cuts. Moreover, we find that Americans support Social Security and say they're willing to pay for maintaining it rather than cutting it in the future.
So where would the revenue come from at this point? Or where would you recommend that it come from?
Well, we've issued a report that offers a long array of options, but one revenue plan would lift the cap on earnings that are subject to Social Security taxes. That cap is now $106,800. And it could be lifted gradually over a 10-year period to restore it to the level Congress intended when it last raised the cap back in 1977, get it up to cover 90% of wages. Another change would broaden the base for Social Security a little bit by treating all so-called salary reduction plans like 401ks, so that you pay Social Security on what you put into these set-aside plans, even though they're exempt from income taxes. These are modest changes that would affect a fairly small segment of the population, but they would reduce the long-range shortfall in Social Security by about half.
Well, yeah, I guess depending on whose ox is gored, whether it's a major or minor contribution, of course, a lot of people make more than 100. You know, that's a low threshold. Wouldn't you say 106,000 versus the tax cuts they're talking about for just straight income tax for 250,000?
That it is true, although the data show that about 6% of workers make more than that $106,000. So it would affect that 6% of workers. It would not affect the other 94% who make less than that.
And that sounds like a small percentage, but that would be the way to go? I mean, your numbers then show that that Social Security would be salvaged and we'd all be okay, and you're looking at the long ball here. You're looking at the long road.
That is true. It's definitely looking at the long term. I think another piece of a revenue plan, in the past, Social Security has often had increases in the Social Security rate scheduled out in the future. That rate is now 6.2% of your earnings up to the cap. Workers pay it and employers pay a matching share. And lawmakers could schedule a rate increase somewhere out in the future, say 10 or 15 years, even a 1 percentage point rate 15 years out in the future is probably more than enough together with the other change that I just mentioned.
We're speaking with Virginia Reno. She's Vice President for Income Security Policy at the National Academy of Social Insurance. And let me ask you a kind of a maybe an off-the-wall question, but in many ways, Social Security is basically a pay-as-you-go program. There's revenues from a particular tax, and there's outlays every year. Do you think it would help the debate if we dispense with the notion that there's some kind of a trust fund, since many people call it just an accounting fiction, and treated it as a pay-as-you-go program that it actually is? Would that make the whole debate about its future more realistic, do you think?
I think it would make it less realistic because it is financed by special contributions from workers toward their pension plans. And I think that's one of the reasons why workers say they're willing to pay for Social Security and they would rather see their taxes increase a little bit than see their future benefits cut. That's consistent in surveys we've done and in surveys that other organizations have done. It's even consistent across party affiliation. among Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, as we report in our recent brief.
Is part of the problem here, and I'm going to get a little earthy, crunchy, philosophical on you, but is part of the problem here that you are looking at the very long term and a lot of what our concerns are very short term? Is there a disconnect there between how is this going to pay off now, who needs help with this now, versus what's going to happen in the next 10, 20, 30 years?
I think you've hit on a very important point. With Social Security, we assess its strength and health over a 75-year period into the future. We don't apply that kind of standard to any other government program that I'm aware of. And so if we're having a 75-year valuation period, then it does make sense to think about scheduling revenues out somewhere in that 75 years to keep it strong for that long-term period.
And just to make sure we understand your full position, besides the revenue side, do you support what a couple of different commissions have come out with, particularly the president's own Fiscal Responsibility Commission? They are talking about 75 years from now, or 65 years from now, raising the age to 69 for receiving benefits. Is that okay also?
The raising the eligibility age for benefits is another way of cutting benefits over the long term. And we have such an increase that is already in the law. It's only beginning to take effect. It will be fully effective for those retiring in about 2022 or who are reaching age 62 then. So we haven't yet seen the impact of the cuts that were enacted in 1983 yet. So it might be wise to see how people fare under that system before scheduling further reductions in benefits.
So that particular provision you would table at this point? The raising to 69 in the year 2075.
There are ways to keep the system strong without resorting to reductions in benefits.